Hello and welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players podcast. This is one of the shows we're recording on Friday, March 8th, and we're looking at this all-stakes, coast-to-coast pick five wager that's going to be happening on Saturday. The ninth race is between Gulfstream and Santa Anita in this bet you've heard us talk about many times on these airwaves. Peter Thomas Fornatale back with you in the Brooklyn bunker once again, and joined by a man who looks at both of these tracks regularly. He covers New York for us over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, and you also know him from the fine work he does behind the microphone at Sam Houston Race Park. He is Nick Tamaro. Nick, how are things?
I'm doing great, my friend. Good to be with you. Talking about a fun sequence for sure.
It's interesting, and there's some decisions horse players have to make about some of these favorites. I'm very curious to talk to you about where you've landed. Let's dive right in. We've got a lot of content coming this weekend. There's going to be other shows covering Tampa Bay. We'll be on one. We've got some New York coverage as well. So lots of stuff cooking. But really, one of the things I'm the most excited about this weekend is this sequence because of the stakes-laden action. It kicks off with race number 9, the Silks Run Stakes at Gulfstream Park. We got $100,000 in the pot for these turf sprinters going the flying 5 furlongs and a field of 8 making its way to post, presumably, including some very big names, Big Invasion among them, last seen. A heartbreaking for me anyway, second in the turf sprint back at the Breeders' Cup, but some other horses in here as well. Contention runs very, very deep, I thought. Very curious, Nick, get your thoughts on how you want to light this candle.
Yeah, you know, he's a difficult horse to really have a good amount of faith in getting there at 5 furlongs because he's always going to have to hustle to get there at 5 furlongs. And I went back and watched the Breeders' Cup sprint, turf sprint replay last night, and I mean, geez, Pete, I don't need to have you relive it, but I mean, he had a great trip, right? He had pretty much everything he needed. He saved ground the entire way. The chart callers in Southern California are just, they're horrifically bad at overstating and exaggerating trouble. So the tight 7/16 lack room upper is just, it represents that he had some kind of issue along the way. He did not. He just ran out of ground. And at 5 furlongs, he's always going to be in that kind of scenario, right? So that's, again, the scenario here. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, 5 at Gulfstream versus 5 at Churchill, it feels like he's going to be a bit better at a place like Churchill, right? He's going to have a little bit longer stretch. He's going to have a little bit more time to get uncoiled in the final quarter of a mile. Whereas at Gulfstream, I mean, this thing feels like it's a long quarter horse race. And there's some speed in here, no doubt about it. I mean, I think it's a good opportunity with him coming off the layoff to maybe take him on a little bit. I know last time was the time, but you're going to get about the same price. Coppola ran really, really well last time. I was even surprised going back and watching the replay how well he ran. And he's going to get a good trip just off the pace. And it feels like, yes, I'm free. And Canthari will show plenty of speed. So I picked Coppola on top to come right back and win. And I'm hoping that he gets that similar kind of trip just off of it that Edgard Zayas gave him last time. Panther Island probably was disadvantaged the most with drawing the rail because now he's got to kind of try and find a way to work out a trip on the inside. So I'm going to make Coppola an A. I'll use Big Invasion as an A as well, but he's not a horse I have a great amount of confidence in. I just, you know, I don't want him to beat me. And I'll use the 6 and 7 as backups.
All right. I'm hearing where you're going with that. I was going to make a little bit of a case for the 7. Yes, I am free to be the best speed in this spot and maybe be able to get the job done again with that idea that the closers around this configuration can definitely be a little bit compromised. I think this horse is going to hopefully be able to move forward coming out of sort of that wide go at Tampa into the fast pace just a couple of weeks ago. I thought that maybe he was worth putting in there as an A, and I was just going to back up with the obvious 2 and 5. I think you make a good point in not dismissing Coppola. I think this is a horse that you know, even though age 5, still looks to be on the improve, and that was a nice race the last day and should get a great setup once again. My complaint, and you know, I am talking through my wallet here, but about Big Invasion in the turf sprint, I just thought Rosario took forever to get him going, but I mean, you can't bet on Rosario and make that complaint, really. It's sort of like complaining about the sun setting in the west. I mean, that's just his style, and I probably shouldn't whine as much about that race as I have, but it was just very costly, so forgive me. do you accept fair enough. That idea? I mean,
yeah, he's always going to be at that disadvantage, though, I would say. But yeah, I don't disagree. I think there's some merit to that. But you know, he's always going to be that type that really is sort of laborious in terms of getting into stride. And the other thing is that you know this is a race where they're really five furlong turf race. There's no breather, right? You're running hard start to finish. So you know, finding out really when he quickens and when he's improving. In terms of his position, it's always going to be tough to say, you know, oh, look at that lightning quick acceleration, right? Because they're going max speed basically the entire way.
Let's move on to race number 10 at Gulfstream, leg B in this cross, not cross country, coast to coast, pick five bet. Fillies and mares, 6.5 on the dirt in the Hurricane Birdie, field of 8 going postward. And I wanted to try to make a little bit of a case for the one runner in here, Unifying, 4-year-old filly, maybe a little bit interesting on the come. Third start off the bench, and I thought could maybe get a setup if the 2, 4, and the 6 really hit early in this spot. I was also going to try to keep the 4 onside, Spirit Wind, who did seem likely to prove the best of speed in this spot. And I might include as a deep backup a horse that I think will be a very big price, because certainly she does not seem fast enough and she's got plenty of form to go on. But Chitara, the 8 runner, there was a great note in DRF about horses that she's been working with, including Speakeasy and Dynamic One. I thought that was a little bit interesting. A horse changing barns and with very nice workouts with very fast horses. I thought that there was enough there, and she'll be enough of a price that I was going to throw in on the backup line. So I had the 1 as my A and the 4 and the 8 as backups here. Nick, how did you see it?
Yeah, this is a tough race. You know, I did notice Chitara was working with some good horses in the last couple of weeks and realized, oh, I guess Todd has her now. And I did kind of forget how she capped her 2023 after that win in the ski pat. I needed her in the race before at 13-1 at Keeneland for a fortune. And somehow she was beaten by a 1,000,000-to-1 shot, trained by a guy who's not allowed to train anymore, which is just a thrilling result, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as an aside, you know, the interesting thing about this race, Pete, is where the hell did the race from Olivia Darling come from last time? Right. That's what we're trying. That's what you have to figure out in terms of how you're going to bet this race, how you're going to approach it. She was 7-1, which obviously she wasn't like, you know, it wasn't some kind of crazy price. It wasn't a horse that was totally overlooked, but she ran significantly better than she had in any race prior from a speed figure perspective. She had a lot of early speed. She stayed on. I mean, she basically ran the same pace fractions, same pace figures that had done her in 3 starts before that in the Princess Rooney. So, you know, she's going to probably be up there battling with Spirit Wind. Maybe she gets the better of it being on the outside. And I could see that maybe providing a bit of an advantage. I did think that Unifying was dangerous as well. Obviously needs to work out a trip from the rail, probably avoiding staying inside for as long as possible. The other horse that's interesting in here is Red Carpet Ready, but you know, Rusty Arnold is a guy whose horses generally aren't ready off of these kind of layoffs. So he's probably going to let her race her way back into shape. I'm sure he covets races like the Madison and or the Humana Distaff, Derby City Distaff, I should say, a little bit down the line. And she did show that she was every bit deserving of being in those kind of races last year. I mean, that win over Money's Gold on Oaks Day last year was sensational. So I felt like I'd probably cast a somewhat wide net. I mean, I would definitely use the 4 and 5, probably have the 1, 2, and 8 as backups. I could even probably throw in the 3 as a backup. I think she's probably more of a placing chance, but I could see a world in which the 4 and 5 really battle here. And this thing could get a little wonky late. If it was 7 furlongs, I'd feel a little bit better. But this does feel like a race that could easily go to an off-the-pace type.
That's what I'm hoping, and we'll see how it plays out. I think that's a good note about Red Carpet Ready, and presumably this being a prep for Keeneland as much as anything else. I think I was seeing that as well, and it's worth underlining. But on the numbers, certainly a horse that deserves serious consideration. Shall we move out to Santa Anita? Any other thoughts on this one?
No, I think we can move out to Santa Anita.
Let's do it. Race number six. The sequence continues with 6:07, the scheduled post time for these three-year-old fillies in the Santa Isabel, 1 mile and a 16th on the dirt. Field of eight going post. We're going to have a big favorite here in the form of number four, Kinza. Are you with or against?
I mean, she's going to be pretty tough to beat, right? This is going to be it should be kind of a tour de force. And, you know, with her situation, the situation with her trainer, I should say, as far as the Oaks goes, she might be the best horse that's not allowed to be in there, because she's run two races so far that have both been very, very good, and came out of an impressive debut win sprinting by going a very impressive mile in the Las Virgenes. So she looks like she'll be pretty tough to beat. I don't really know where she's supposed to get a substantial challenge on the front end. And usually with her, that's pretty much all she rode. So I'd be intrigued to see what could happen when she maybe gets tested a little bit, because she has been pretty much unscathed in two starts. As far as the lead goes, she's not really had to take anybody's best shot early or late. With that said, I mean, it just might be one of those situations where she's so much better than everybody she's been running against that it really doesn't matter. So she's the clear speed on Timeform US. I don't really see there being much of an issue there. The horse that looks like she's got probably the best opportunity to upset her is Ultimate Authority for Tim Yakteen, who was a nice maiden winner last out, traded decisions with She's a Tempest. Actually, I shouldn't say traded. She lost She's a Tempest both of her first two starts. But then, you know, this filly immediately got better going long. And maybe Tim Yakteen has some insight into Practical Joke progeny, because this is now the second year in a row he's had a good Practical Joke with Practical Move last year. So she felt like the one that was probably the likeliest upsetter. You've still got a little upside with Navy Bell, but this does feel like a big ask. Worth noting that the filly who Navy Bell beat last time out is running on Friday at Santa Anita. So you might want to keep an eye on those just to get a line on where she's at in terms of overall performance. So I would, I'd single Kinza. I'd probably back up with the one.
Backing up with Ultimate Authority. I am going to probably just plant the flag with Kinza. My issue with the one and the six, they're both going to catch money into the teeth of her. And I have big questions first time against winners at this level, in it where they're seeding this huge pace advantage to Kinza. So I'm just going to plant the flag and move on. Fastest horse, fewer questions about her than the competition, really. And Baffert wins this race every year, so you can throw that into the mix as well. So keeping it pretty skinny there in the Santa Isabel as we move on to more grade three action in the form of the San Simeon going down the hill here on a field of nine. For me, as folks have heard me say many times, the best predictor for me in these downhill races of future success is past success. That leads me to the seven, Lane Way, who I just think is a proper downhill specialist. Typically finds the flat five a little bit too sharp. Mandela's been flying all meet, and just looking at the way the pace shakes out in here, should get a great trip in behind the speed. Very happy to put most of my money through the seven, Lane Way. I will mention, this is a horse that this could be a trap one, but I think will be a big enough price that I'll take a little bit of a gamble with the six Ottoman Prince. Looking at the D'Amato numbers, as good as he is with first-time North American horses in general, he's not really good first-time North America down the hill. Small sample, but you know, it was something like 2 for 12 when I pulled it, suggesting to me that he'll often use this as more of a prep, which certainly could be the case when looking at Ottoman Prince's overseas form. But the thing that just stuck in my head looking at this is Epsom is a very unusual course with uphills and downhills and a camber in the stretch, meaning it's not flat. It's actually like tilted through the lane. Horses that run well there, I don't have any question that this horse will, like, quote unquote, handle the downhill. Question is more going to be, is he good enough? Is he ready? But for a horse, it's going to be 8 or 10 to 1, certainly for third in trifectas to Lane Way, I should say. This is a horse that I'm okay keeping in the mix. Mostly about the seven for me. What do you think about Lane Way and all the rest in the San Simeon, Nick?
Yeah, I think Lane Way is very much the horse to beat. I mean, you alluded to the fact that he's been very successful going down the hill. There are a couple of horses in here who have bested him in the past, but they feel like they might not be coming into this in exactly the right kind of scenario to be dangerous. You know, a horse that I was really looking forward to betting coming out of the Harvey Pack at Saratoga last year was Dancing Buck. And the problem the Dancing Buck ran into was that he was entered in the Belmont Turf Sprint and it was rained off the turf. And then he got entered in the Aqueduct Turf Sprint Championship. And that was at the end of the turf season. And there was a huge inside bias. And so he had really no opportunity. Well, he went out west for Rick Dutrow and finished second to Forbidden Kingdom in the Joe Hernandez on opening weekend and has been off since then. You know, this horse doesn't have to be on the lead. He's very, very dangerous to me. I'm going to pick him. I'm going to use him in Lane Way. I think Air Force Red probably is going to need a race off the layoff. Everybody else in here wants to do their best running from off of it, maybe with the exception of Mucho Del Oro, who also has a little bit of speed and ran the best race in the Clucker's Corner last time out. But I'm too married to Dancing Buck to give up on him here. I don't want Iridéo, who was up in time to win the Clucker's Corner, but felt like he had pretty much everything go his way that day from a pace perspective. So I'm mainly going to be 4-7 with a little bit of eight and hoping the Dancing Buck finally gets that opportunity to shine. And I think I'll get a decent enough price trying to get him home.
I like your case on Dancing Buck a lot. There are a lot of excuses here, and it is interesting that Time Form has this one loose potentially if that's the way they decide to go. I'll probably throw in as a backup on your say-so. Dutrow been heating back up, and hopefully Maldonado can give this one the right kind of ride to give a chance. I mean, I think Laneway probably gets there, but I'd be remiss to not have some fours on my tickets in this fourth leg of the Saturday coast-to-coast bet, which concludes with race number eight. We've got grade one action in the Beholder Mile. Fillies and mares going a mile on the dirt in a race I felt like you could tell a lot of stories about. Took me a minute to come up with an opinion here. I think I'm happy with where I landed. But before I give my thoughts, let me ask you the key question, my friend. How are we going to get paid?
You know, this thing came up a lot tougher than I thought it would. And, you know, for all the flack that this division has taken over time, Pete, this is a really good race.
Yeah,
it's a way better race than it's been in years past. And not only do you have some horses jumping up into stakes company again, like Sweet Azteca, but you've got some comebackers and you've got four horses between 5-2 and 4-1 on the morning line. I don't really think any of that is inaccurate. I think all of them are going to end up shaking out, you know, in some capacity around those prices. So, I mean, I think, you know, the conversation sort of starts with Adair Manor, who was more or less the boss of this division for most of 2023 out west. And she got the better of Desert Dawn three times. But Desert Dawn came back last time out and beat Midnight Memories like a drum. And ran really well doing so, looked like a totally different horse. I wish she still had Flavian Pratt on her because it did feel like they really linked up properly. I mean, he rode her with a ton of confidence all the way around there. And she's a bit of a refuser. She's a horse that doesn't really want to pass horses. She doesn't want to hold horses off. So she has to really dig in. And I think being asked to produce a run that was instant so that she didn't have to prolong it was really what made the biggest difference. Midnight Memories was also bad that day. And I think that contributed. But you've got these two new Todd Pletcher horses. One new Todd Pletcher horse in Interstate Daydream, who, you know, was always a very nice horse for Brad Cox, never really able to break through as a four-year-old in graded state company, and now looking to get that done as a five-year-old. So it's you know, it's tough to figure exactly what she is going to have in the tank. Green Up is a filly that, or mare, I should say now, that really got better as the year went on. Last year, the Pumpkin Pie was a very strong performance. I know Frank's Roquette was making her final start, but she had a very nice 2023, and Green Up really beat her on the square. She's also a filly who'd run some fast races earlier in her career. So, yeah, I'm very intrigued by this. I mean, quite honestly, I don't exactly know where to go. I'm a little intrigued by Sweet Azteca as the main speed, and I think that Flavian Pratt opting to go here rather than riding Desert Dawn is a little bit of a sign. Yeah, I hate reading into this stuff too much, but I do want to kind of buy into it, and I do think I've got all the respect in the world for Michael McCarthy. So the fact that he's landing here, I think, really does matter. I think that John White kind of planned on that being a factor for people betting, and that's why he made her kind of a short price on the morning line. So I think I'll probably pick her on top. But yeah, to be honest with you, and given that we can go kind of skinny in the Santa Isabel, I'll probably have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 on my tickets in some capacity here.
I hear you, and I'm with you on the top pick. I do think Sweet Azteca feels like the right one. Key question, is she going to see out the trip? It was interesting. Diving into the sharp Azteca sire numbers, his progeny actually have a better win percentage and better median figure going longer, going a mile or farther than they do sprinting. Now, the dam side looks very, very sprinty, to be fair, but then there's also the fact that she just shapes like she'll go long. And what do I mean by that? Just visually, you know, she seems to hit the line running, and looking at pace figures, she's not really slowing down as much as you might expect late on in these races. McCarthy's a huge plus in her corner. Maybe we're looking at a CC. I don't want to put too much on her, but maybe we're looking at a CC 2.0 in the form of Sweet Azteca. I was going to try to do that gimmick where in a race that looks wide open, maybe I'll just try to hit this last one in the final leg and try to pick up some equity late in the game here. And we'll be hoping for the best as far as this one goes. And then, you know, if I'm alive, there might be some clever ways to try to hedge a little bit, maybe using some of the logicals over her, etc. But yeah, we both have Sweet Azteca on top. Did you want to try to grade the other runners at all, or just call this, make the six your A and just list the one through five as Bs?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably say two, three, five, six as A's, one and four as backups.
Okay, that works. Boom. Excellent. Good stuff, Nick. Well, we've gone through the sequence. We've given some ideas. Hopefully, we'll have a bunch of winners in here and hopefully prices along the way as well. Appreciate your help this week and look forward to chatting with you next week.
Anytime, my friend. Appreciate it. Pleasure's all mine.
Good stuff. Nick Tamara, we thank you once again, and we thank our friends over at ExpressBet for sponsoring this content as well. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. Me with all your photos.